This is Trisussi, the blog and podcast manager for Modaxo, and welcome to Transloc, where we talk about everything with on-demand transit and the people behind it and the people who use it. Today, our guest is Chip Schuneman, the new GM of Transloc. Now, Chip has been leading businesses for over 30 years across multiple industries, from SaaS to healthcare to communication to education. He's done this around the world, from continental US, Europe, and even South Africa. And Chip has this strong operational sales and financial background that lets him orchestrate organic growth in every business he works in and lead and close global acquisitions. So this is pretty amazing. He has some cool facts that we'll get to later, but the one that I have to ask you about, Chip, you rode your bike from Mexico to Canada one summer, entirely uphill. Did you lose a bet?
No, it was actually part of a mission trip that out of Taylor University that I was a part of, and we had 60 people. Five of them were in the Olympics, so they were the lead group. I didn't pace with them very often, but it was fun. So we rode about 110 miles a day on average and covered that ground from Nogales, Mexico to Glacier National Park in Canada, all in about 24 days. It was great.
Wow. Yeah, way beyond my level of bikiness.
Obviously, I did it years and years ago because I don't know that I'd make it down the street today.
Oh, I'm with you. But you know, our CEO, Mark Miller, is really into elevation climbing biking. I think he rode up Mauna Loa in Hawaii.
Wow.
Which blows my mind. Chip, welcome to Transloc. And we're thrilled to have you on board as part of the Modaxo family. I've entered with a little bit of your bio, but what do you think are some highlights in your career that got you to this point as being the GM of Transloc?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I've only been on a couple months, and so that's really fresh in my mind in regards to how I've really been prepared, I guess, throughout my career to be a part of Exo family and really CSI overall, you know, whether it's my acquisition background or my ability to step into businesses and help them scale and grow in both domestic and international businesses. And I think the one thing that really drew me to the whole Modaxo family is really the culture. And Rod Jones and I talked a little bit about this. It's just about being an authentic leader, is that we're not perfect. None of us are. And it's just a matter of, hey, come in, treat people with respect, build your leadership team, make sure that you've got the right people in the right seat, and build trust and grow the business over time. Make sure that everybody understands what their role is and move the business forward. And if you misstep, own up to it, raise your hand and say, hey, we misstep. We're going to fix that next month, next quarter, whatever, and move on, because it's all about doing the right things as far as a process, understanding that through that process, we'll get to the end goals, which is growing our business year after year in a profitable way.
And it sounds like you provide in your bio this great sentiment on leadership. And I think this ties in exactly to what you're seeing. So I want to read this. And you said, live in the future today, but get started serving someone yesterday. What matters most is not where you are today, but where you finish strong. That all seems to tie into that, your leadership philosophy you were just talking about.
Yeah, I shared this in an all hands meeting. We call it an intersection meeting, you know, or in the transit industry. So you've got to have, everything's got to have a little cute name. But intersection meeting is really where we bring all of our team members together on a month to month basis. And I shared this as an introduction, as one of the things that I've learned is to share with team members how I, as one of the leaders, makes decisions. And I just shared that I have a mentor years and years ago that identified some weird quality in my brain and my makeup that was, I have a tendency and ability to kind of live 6 months out in the future, but then execute on a day-to-day basis to get there. But the guiding principles around how do we get there is what's best for our customers, our company, which really means our shareholders and our brand and our team. And I use the analogy of a three-legged stool, is that as an organization, you really have to, and as a leader in the organization, you have to manage that three-legged stool and keep it balanced. Because if one leg gets too long or one leg gets too short, that stool falls over and we've essentially failed. So if you overinvest in team members, we pay everybody way and above market, we give everybody unlimited vacation, and we just don't hold anybody accountable. Fun place to work, right? I'm overpaid and underworked, great. but our shareholders and our stakeholders are going to be disappointed because our profitability is not going to be there. And our customers are going to be equally frustrated because we're not going to be able to deliver products and services to them in an effective way. The same goes with our shareholders. We can drive an immense amount of profit in our business by cutting salaries, eliminating headcount, reducing expenses, and not serving our customers, but that stool is going to fall over. That leg may be long for a short period of time, but that stool is going to fall over. Or the third area is like we can really serve our customers and really overserve our customers with the best product, with the best services, a conference every month where we buy them Yetis and bikes and whatever. But in the end, our shareholders are going to be super disappointed because we're overspending. And our team is going to, frankly, just be worn out because we're not going to be able to actually serve all of those interests. So, and the stool is going to fall over. So what I shared with our team is just my desire is to speed the process of decisions. So if you have a need or a question or you want to make an investment or change something in the business, come forward with the thought process of what's best for our customers, what's best for our company, and what's best for our team in that order so that we can have a productive conversation quickly and make a decision quickly, if that makes sense.
And it actually now ties into the next real question is, we all look back at our careers and we have those aha moments that inflect where we're going. What are some pivotal moments that you've had in your career that kind of get you to where you are now when you realize you're on the right track, this is it? And even if they change your direction, what were some of those moments for you?
There's been a number of them. And fundamentally, it's been people looking at me and giving me an opportunity to go off and do something, whether it's running a public company or it's taking over an entire global team of an organization. I think the one thing that kind of stands out to me in my career, early in my career, was the first time I stepped into an executive role at IBM. And how I got there is kind of hilarious because I made the mistake of writing and submitting a white paper to our executive team at IBM. My intent was really just to share, hey, we have an opportunity to better serve our customers by operating as a wholly owned company that can serve them consistently around the globe when we're competing in, at least in our particular space, with a bunch of fractional franchises that are doing things inconsistently. And so I came up with the concept of a national accounts program. It's nothing notional or novel or anything along those lines, but it was for our business. And I just said, this is how it would operate. It'd overlap all 52 of our general managers across the country, and it would serve our largest clients. And again, I wrote up the justification, submitted it. And again, it wasn't a matter of me or anything. It was a matter of, I think this is a really good idea for us to make a big bet investment and to better serve our clients and grow our business. Well, 2 weeks later, I get a call from the CEO saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you about your white paper. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. This is probably not good. He said, I'd like you to move your family to Seattle and start this thing and run it. And I'm like, that was not the intent. In fact, I think Brian in San Francisco should do that, not me. Long story made short, my family and I moved up in October of 1997 to lead national accounts. And we just took on something that was a little idea and built it into something that represented about 113% growth in our business over the few years and built out a team. And it was one of those aha moments is that don't wait to take opportunities. Think ahead on how you can best serve your customers, your company, and overall your team, and move forward and execute. You don't know everything. Deal with ambiguity. Make decisions as you go and continue to kind of innovate as you go forward. But it was great as I look back. That's why I say people have been willing to take chances, and I really value that, people placing their trust in me, and I want to return that trust by giving 100% and also working with team members to execute on the mission that we've laid out. And that really is probably something that has really formed what I'll call my leadership style, if you will, and that is engaging people, making sure we have the right people in the right seats. And I always look at that as being people that are exceptionally minded and exceptionally hearted. And that's both. Like, I've worked in organizations with a bunch of exceptionally minded people, but they weren't exceptionally hearted. So they're all about themselves. They are all about their stock options. They're all about all the things that kind of make people quote unquote jerks, if you will, because they're looking in the mirror every day. because they didn't bring their heart to work. And then I've also worked in a lot of nonprofit organizations and charitable organizations around the world where we have exceptionally hearted people with that are on mission, but they're misaligned with their skills, right? And so they're exceptionally minded in some areas, but maybe not for that particular mission, if you will. And so while I love those folks as well, finding the people that are both exceptionally hearted and exceptionally minded is really critical in our particular business, because you need people that are broad in their knowledge and deep in their knowledge, but also, and this, I would argue, this is just as important, they have a servant leadership mentality. They have a way of living life that is all about, I want to lend my expertise and my skills to help you be successful. And if we have leaders in our business, and I can exemplify that on day one with our team, and we have leaders in our business that are doing that on a consistent basis, we're unstoppable. We're absolutely unstoppable. But it takes time to get there, and it takes time to build that trust and also find those people.
Absolutely. And this is a good segue into what you're going to do at Transloke. So what's your vision at Transloke? Where do you see the company evolving in the next few years? And what do you think your impact, where do you see your impact being on the company in the years ahead?
In my short tenure, I have found a few things. And this is where I probably need to capitalize on. Oh, well, I need to highlight one is I'm not a huge fan of the word vision. The word vision, I think, denotes of fantasies and dreams and other things. And as an athlete and other things, I really focus on goals, big goals, and perhaps audacious goals. Like, how are we going to get there? How are we going to own majority of our market share in our particular industry? I think we have that opportunity to regain that majority market share in our market. That, I don't know if that's a vision, but I look at that as more of a goal. But in my short tenure with Transloke, I have found we have the assets that get us to wherever we want to be. And what I mean by that is that we have tremendous customers. We have a list of hundreds of recognizable logos across the board, across the United States and North America that any business would be envious of. That's number one. Number two, we have people that have been with our team in our 20 years. I mean, we're celebrating our 20-year anniversary this year. We have team members in our business that have been with us 13 plus years in some cases. That's a tremendous legacy and knowledge and just kind of tribal knowledge that we bring to the table and bring to bear on serving our customers in the marketplace. And so, as I said before, I've had a mentor in the past that has said, you have the unique ability to live kind of 6 months in the future and execute today. What he didn't say is I had the ability to live 6 years in the future. So that's probably where my tiny little brain stops from a vision standpoint. But I think there's two things that I would highlight in regard to Transloke. Went through a very difficult acquisition and integration that we're just now coming out of as I kind of see light at the end of the tunnel. Got three or four key initiatives that we need to wrap up this year to put those things to bed so that we as an organization can transition to really focusing on our customers and retaining customers, regaining customers, and winning new customers and building our business overall.
Well, you just talked about customers, and that leads into my next question, which is Transloke has a huge diversity of clients. You have people from, universities to transit agencies and fixed route and on demand. How do you plan on serving all of those customers best? What is that nugget that's going to pull it all together?
Yeah, this is really a relevant question, especially right now. I think most people look at transit needs, if you will, and say, okay, well, why don't I ride a bus or ride a train on a day-to-day basis? And what would it take for me to jump on in Atlanta here, MARTA, or jump on a Dawsonville County bus to get to MARTA in order to get to the airport? And for me, I need a reliable, predictable, flexible, and convenient, along with safe transportation. And all of those aspects need to be there. And if I look at what our solutions are, it really doesn't matter whether our clients are universities or medical facilities or large corporate campuses or municipal transit authorities, because those really are our ideal customer profiles. It's really about what we provide. And what I'm super excited about is as I look at our product solution in comparison to the competitors in the marketplace and how we're serving customers, we provide that single kind of source in one app this reliable, predictable, flexible, convenient, and safe sort of opportunity for transportation. And we put it in your pocket in an app, and we also provide all our transit authorities with a lot of data on the backside so they can effectively manage their transit department and all the vehicles in there. I think one of the things that we have to do as leaders in Modaxo and Transloc is we have to ask the question, why aren't we taking advantage of riding transit more often? I mean, we were honored as being one of the leading workplaces for transit last year in 2023. And that's a great honor. But the question is, how can we encourage our team members? How can we encourage our other associated businesses across Modaxo to really say, this has got to be a priority? I'm not saying everybody needs to sell a car and drop down to one car or have one less car in their family. But maybe that is something we should look at, right? Maybe that is that, I'll say that inconvenience will put us in a place where we need to start taking advantage of the transit opportunities that are all around us.
I like ending these interviews with a fun question. If Transloc was a superhero, what would its superpower be? And what would your superhero name be if you were a superhero in the transportation universe?
I'll go back to having an app. I love questions like this. I think it's the whole kind of seamless mobility sort of concept of having everything in one place that's easy for me to use, and that it's something that I can, the superpower is, I just think about where I am and where I need to go, and it's seamless. I just step onto the bus or the train or whatever, and I end up at my location, if you will.
So what would you call yourself as a superhero?
I've shared this with the team, and I really don't want this to be some sort of nickname or anything like that. But I think Transporter works. And my reason for saying that is that I miss being in the office with team members quite a bit. And it's that camaraderie, that communication, and so forth. And so I've said, if I could get Star Trek to really perfect the Transporter, we could all live wherever we wanted to. I would live in Cape Town, South Africa. You can live wherever you want, but I just want that Transporter to work. So beam me up, Scotty, to Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, to the office at 7 o'clock in the morning, and beam me home at 7 o'clock at night. I'm good. That would be ideal, but I think Transporter would probably have to be that superhero name, if you will.
So. That sounds great. Chip, this has been a great interview. I wish we had more time, because it could just go on and on with the visions for transportation and getting more people to take transit and how your background is all fit into this. Maybe we'll have to do a second part of this interview. So, Chip, this has been absolutely fantastic.
Chris, it's been great. Appreciate the time.
You're most welcome.